the North Peace MB Church Roundtable Podcast. For more information, visit npmbchurch.com.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning into the Roundtable Podcast. Dawn had a suggestion for a new theme song. Right? You said you wanted, this is your favorite song? I think this would just get people amped up to listen. We're going to stop it there because we'll probably get sued for using that song. Who knows what song that was? We're not going to say.
Sounded like several songs.
It's one of the old hymns, I think. Jesus.
Wesley on the organ.
Yeah, John.
Sound pretty good, I think.
Thank you for listening to the Thunderstruck Podcast. This is Don and Andrew. If you're new to listening, we've gone a few weeks now in a row because people have been sending in questions, which is really great. But this is a podcast about Christianity and faith and the Bible and what it looks like really practically to follow Jesus. And so we try and make it super practical, and we have fun. And yeah, people are like, man, you guys just – I don't know. They're like, our pastors have senses of humor? What is that?
Actually real people.
Is that allowed?
Used to not be, but apparently.
It's encouraged now.
Hey, Andrew.
Oh, here we go. Don said he had a theological question for me.
Yeah, I wanted to see how smart our resident theologian is. Can you tell me what the doctrine of perspicuity is? It's very important these days.
Perspicuity. Did you just make that up?
No, I didn't.
Okay,
I know what it was about a week ago? No, I didn't either.
Yeah, I can honestly say
it by another name.
I have never heard of perspicuity.
Oh, man. It's the doctrine of clarity of Scripture, that Scripture today.
Oh, yes, perspicuity. Yeah.
I knew good chance that Andy probably didn't hear that word because it's kind of obscure, but apparently it's a doctrine that's being looked at. The clarity of Scripture, can Scripture still speak to us today?
Oh.
And the argument is like, well, it was written 2,000 years ago. What were the author's intent? Like, there's no way we can come up with a solid answer that we can go by. So that's the doctrine of this big word. And they set in brackets clarity for those that aren't sure.
Yeah.
That's
you're not
the one
a
I went
PhD
to.
Candidate.
Anyway, sorry for that detour there.
No, that's good. Thanks. Making me look like an idiot.
Yeah, well, I got to live down the thunderstruck.
So we did have a question come in from one of our faithful listeners. So I'll read his or her email. See that? Totally anonymous. What are some thoughts and ideas about how to confront complacency in one's faith? Sure, step one is prayer, but even prayer can seem like reading from a script at times. Are there some scripture passages you can recommend, other steps to take? There are highs in one's faith, which are amazing, but how do we get back to that when we're in a low? So it's basically... Yeah, it's a good question. I think it's a super relevant question. But basically, yeah, what do you do when you are in a dry spell, basically? What do you do when, praying, reading your Bible is just not that exciting, or you seem – I've heard people describe it as, I just feel like God's far away, which maybe we'll get into that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not the case, but I've heard that. I just feel distant from God, or there's like – I just feel dry, or, complacent might be a good – word to describe it. But yeah, I don't know, Don, why don't you, do you want to start? Oh, sorry, my phone's just bloop,
bloop, bloop. Busy guy.
Ringer's off. It's okay. A 1-800 number.
Oh,
so it's
boy.
You have already won a cruise. So
boom.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyways, what do you do? I guess, I'll just throw that out to you, Don. Maybe do you have some advice for people or a story from your own life, or what do you do in those kind of dry, complacent times? How do you get through
those?
It's
definitely happened a time or two where it's been dry and kind of struggling through those times. I just was kind of a relevant question because just 2.5 years ago when we lost our grandson, the next 3 or 4 months was an incredible kind of dry spell. And I mean, it was a traumatic event. It just took a while to get through that. And basically it was, for me, it was just, the temptation was like Job when he lost everything. His wife says, why don't you just curse God and die? He's obviously left you.
Right.
And so it was, you know, there were those temptations to think along those lines. But I guess for me during that time, I would just read the promises of the scripture and just remind myself. And that had to be sometimes daily and sometimes even several times a day, because these voices would just keep saying, like, God has left you, like, just leave that. And I knew that wasn't true, but there was no feeling there. It was just going by what the scriptures said, the Bible said. So,
wow.
It was kind of a weird feeling, because there was nothing you could do to change that or try to kindle something.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in the past when that's happened, and we talked about this off the air here, that, during those times of complacency or dryness, it's tempting to want to do something to kickstart your faith again, do something risky or do something, I don't know, whatever it is. To, you know, it's almost like God, obviously you're asleep or something, so we need to wake you up and get back to this good place.
Yeah.
And so there's been times I've been tempted to do that, go to a prayer rally, or not that those are wrong, but it was definitely trying to start a fire again.
Yep.
So I guess one thing I've learned is that sometimes God actually wanted to teach me something through those dry times. And I guess over time I've been trying to ask, okay, what's the lesson we're trying to get at here? Instead of trying to get out of here as fast as possible, I tried to, you know, stay in it and ask, you know, what are you trying to teach me? And there's been times God has taught me things through it that I wouldn't have probably learned, because when you're in a high, for me, sometimes you just, it's going too good. You don't take time to, God, what do I need to learn, or what do I need to do next?
Because you're just cruising. So. No, I think especially, and you said this before we clicked record, but in our day and age, I think there's almost a panic around if my spiritual walk isn't always up and to the right, if I'm not always soaring, then it's almost like we panic and we assume like some people would say, has God left me? Like, am I a Christian anymore? And we panic when it's, when maybe we go through a dry season spiritually, or whether we, something traumatic happens, or, you know, or whether we go through a season where, man, we really, like, we just don't feel like reading our Bibles or praying. And it's almost like, and I've met lots of people that when that happens, it's like in full panic mode that something terrible is happening. Yeah. So I think the first thing to realize when you go through, you know, and the email was saying, you know, that, you know, the highs are great and then the lows, how do we get out of the lows? You need to realize that, you know, walking with Jesus, your discipleship journey is going to be constantly like that. No one's walk with Jesus is up and to the right their entire lives, I don't think. And if you are one of those people, email us and let us know, what's your secret? Because it's just like, because of the fallen world that we live in, because of our sin nature, because of all these things, like, of course your life is going to be, it's not just smooth sailing with Jesus forever, like, for a couple of different reasons. Like, yeah, you have a sin nature. We live in a fallen world. Just, you know, there's tragedies and bad things that happen. And then, like you said, and God, I believe, and some people might disagree with me, I believe God actually purposely does those things. Now, some would say, well, no, God would never do that to his children. And like, we do that to our children. We purposefully let them experience things so that they learn a lesson. Yeah. So I think God sometimes purposefully puts us in these situations where it's really hard, or it's, you know, I'm not saying everything that happens to you, God is like poking you.
I was going to before I forget, is one lesson I had to learn through a dry time was that things were going so good that I began thinking that as long as I keep being good, the blessings will keep coming.
Yep.
And it was related to that.
Yep.
And the first kind of long dry spell, I thought, what happened?
Yeah, exactly.
And nothing really happened between us, but I was starting to think, well, if I stay good, if I stay disciplined, God's going to, it's just going to keep going.
Yeah.
And it didn't.
Yeah. So I think the first thing, if you're in a, you know, when you get to that place where you feel complacent or dry, I would just encourage you not to panic. And like Dawn said, sometimes we try and, try and find like a quick fix, if that's the right way to put it. Like I just need a, like an energy drink booster shot, spiritual thing to like kind of, you know, you get, it's like you're getting the, what are those called? The defibrillator. Like if I can just zap myself and now, okay, I'm back up to where I was. I would say that's so dangerous, and not like any of those things are wrong, but like you might say, oh, I'm just going to go to this Christian rally and just really amp myself up. And I just think that's artificial. Mm-hmm. And you might be missing out on some key thing that God's trying to teach you. Because even you think about the Apostle Paul, so glad we have him as an example. Like, was his life smooth sailing? Like, no, man, poor guy. Like, he's shipwrecked and he's beaten and he's like the hardships that that guy must, like, I can't even imagine. And then he's shipwrecked and then they land on an island and then he's bitten by a snake. Like, do you think he was just like, come on, man, are you serious? But we know that, you know, God told him that, you know, my grace is sufficient for you. And that related specifically to some type of thorn in his flesh or disease or sickness. We don't know specifically, but God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Because when I am weak, then I am strong. That's what Paul says. So I would say the first thing to do is don't panic. Don't hit the, you know, alarm bells that, oh my gosh, it's a dry spell. And just to reassure you, it's not the end of the world and it's going to happen. And if it hasn't happened yet, it will happen. That's the reality of following Jesus. So Dawn, then in your, what kind of things did you, I mean, you mentioned, you know, you had to remind yourself of truths from the Bible, but I don't know, like what specifically, we'll use that, you know, 2.5 years ago, were there, because I know this person is asking, like, are there like things that I can do to kind of help myself get through that? Were there things that you did? And, you know, and this person mentions, yeah, prayer and reading your Bible. So, but I don't know, were there sneaky, cool things that you did that just really helped? Or I don't know, how did you kind of daily get through that?
Well, it was prayer and Bible reading. There was no magic fix. It was really like the regular quiet time. One of my prayers was like Psalm 51. I mean, that's where David, he was in a dry spell and because of disobedience and sin, but his prayer was the same thing I did. He asked God to restore to him the joy of his salvation, create in me a pure heart. And so those are prayers I prayed as well because I realized that I can't change this. Like it has to be God to do that. One thing I had to be really disciplined with was my position in Jesus never changed. In that dry spell, even though it's tempting to think something's changed, I had to go to Romans 3 was a favorite passage that we've all sinned, fall short of God's glory. But then he says he declared us righteous. He justified us. So I had to just remind myself that I am God's child because of what Jesus did. It's legally a done deal.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that was important just to remind myself probably daily there for a while that I'm right with God. Like I don't have any outright sin and all that. I know I'm fall short of God's glory, but I wasn't living in disobedience.
Yep.
So I had to be disciplined about that. And then I had to be vulnerable. I said to people, including Andrew, that I need prayer. Like I am not in a good place. And I need prayer for, you know, revival and for God's protection, and that he'll teach me what he wants me to learn.
Yeah.
And for me, part of the lesson was that God is a good father, even though it didn't look like it from my human eyes, that according to the Bible, he's a God of love. He's a God of light. That doesn't change. He's not a shifting, shadowy guy. Mm-hmm. So those are things I had to just kind of daily do. And I can't even say when it exactly happened, but it just seemed like suddenly the light started getting brighter again and the joy returned.
Yep.
But really, it is kind of grinding it out. There is no magic formula. It's kind of sticking with it.
Yep.
Because the temptation is when it's not going good, we got to do something different.
Yeah.
Something's changed. And I was thinking too of the Old Testament prophets. Like sometimes you go, man, they were on a high, but sometimes there was like 10 years of just living faithfully, doing the right thing. Yep. And then something dramatic would happen.
Yep.
And for me, that was a huge encouragement too, that if things are kind of dry and I'm just waiting for God to show up or just waiting on him, that there was, like you said, no panic button, because that was more normal. And I was telling you too, like I'm old enough to remember where the kind of the shift towards when, you know, your marriage, if it's not feeling right, if your relationship with God isn't feeling right, though, something's wrong. You either got to get divorced, you found the wrong person.
Right.
The same with God. Like you got to do something.
Yep.
And nothing's changed. It's a part of life where you go through these cycles.
Yep.
And maybe asking the question, God, what do you want to teach me? And just to kind of be in God's word on a daily basis, relying on his promises.
Mm-hmm.
He has to do the reviving.
Yeah.
Exactly. I've learned that reviving myself doesn't work.
Really?
Nope. Doesn't work.
Was it Isaiah or Jeremiah where God was like, I want you to go preach to these people and they're not going to listen to you? Was that Jeremiah?
I think both of them.
Oh, yeah. So
right,
that's encouraging.
Isaiah, he sees the glory of God and then he says, who will go? Isaiah says,
send
me.
Woohoo!
And he says, you know, preach destruction, judgment. And he said, how long? Until they're all out of here, done. Oh, man.
So he goes from the mountaintop, right, into the valley, so to speak. And that was exactly what God wanted.
Obedience and...
Yeah, I think you brought up a good point about the feelings thing, because we are a society that is so – we've swung so – we are so governed by our feelings in every aspect, because we live in a society where, if it feels good, do it. You know, your feelings are what are of utmost. Mm-hmm. I've even been listening a bit to this Jordan Peterson guy who's not a believer, but he's a clinical psychologist and he's from Ontario and he's challenging all these political correct – but all the arguments that he kind of – it's because it's all based on feelings, you know. So they're saying this is kind of off topic, but it was interesting because they're saying, you know, in Ontario they're trying to make it law that you have to use gender-neutral pronouns like Z or Zem or something like that. And so he's saying, no, I'm not doing that. You can't by law make me do that. And so the argument is – but you're hurting people's feelings. Mm. And he goes, that's not a good enough reason to make a law about it. So it's just been interesting that we're so governed by like our own feelings. And I would say spiritually, we've done that too. We've swung, I've seen this pendulum swing there that now following Jesus is all about your feelings that, you know, and you want to chase after that Jesus high or whatever. And a lot of, you know, you think of a lot of the popular music and concerts, it's all just this experiential feeling thing that you leave and you feel great. And we've equated that feeling great with I've met with God, which I would say is not necessarily true, that you might just feel great. You can go to a secular concert and feel great when you leave. But we've equated that with if I leave feeling great, man, God met with me. So then we assume that our whole Christian life, I've got to be feeling great, or else is there something wrong? So again, I would say in that midst of dryness, don't trust your own feelings because they'll betray you. And it's almost like, I like what you said, like you just have to like like slug it out almost. Like when I did young adult ministry, we did, I remember, and this is just crystal clear, this, what this girl said, but we were doing, I forget what it was, but it was something about the importance of studying the Bible or, and she said, well, I don't study the Bible unless I feel like it. Cause I don't want it to be like, you know, I have to. I'm like, such a millennial thing to say. But she was saying, like, if I don't feel like reading the Bible, I don't do it because I don't want to make it feel like it's a chore that I have to do. And I just said, well, that's a great thought, but that's completely wrong. Because there are so many days when I don't feel like reading the Bible, and yet I know that I should because it's good for me and it's good for my soul and it's good for my walk with Jesus. So I can remember in dry times in my own life when you wake up and you go, man, I right now, I just don't feel like reading my Bible. And yet you crack it open and you read it because you have to lay aside those feelings because we know that if we want intimacy with Jesus, he's given us what to do. Read your Bible, spend time in prayer. And I like that you said it's the same with a marriage. Like there's times, you know, we've been married 7 years. And even in that 7 years, there's seasons where you don't necessarily feel like you love them. And some people would go, that's, what am I supposed to just fake it? Well, yeah, kind of, but not fake it. But we've associated that love with that feeling. And so if I go through a season where I don't necessarily have that feeling, so I just give up on my marriage and throw it out, our society would be like, yeah, go chase that next feeling. But no, you continue to serve and you spend time with your wife or your husband or whatever you have, and you spend time and you serve and you give and you go. I don't like how it sounds, but you go through the motions because you know that that's what's important. And that feeling comes back, right? Don, you've been married for like 40 years, is it? 30.
This is one of the sayings that Janet sometimes drives her crazy, because there's times where she says, why do you love me? And I go, there's times where I've decided to love you. I made a choice.
Yeah.
And she goes, wow, that is so romantic.
Yeah.
But now for 30 years, we're so glad that we both said that.
Yeah.
That I chose to love you. And sometimes she'll even say, I don't like you right now, but
I totally
do love you.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine, you know, the roller coaster that if those times you go, well, maybe she's not the right, maybe she's not the soulmate.
Yeah, right.
So I was going to ask you, Andrew, like, are there a couple checks you can do? Let's say you get into a dry period or complacency. Are there some things you can check? Maybe I put myself here.
Before you say that, I had a thought that we should start a realistic card line, like, you know, happy anniversary, I am still choosing to love you. Because I go to buy cards and I'm like, these are so cheesy. Like a dewdrop on a flower is so is my love. No, it should just be like, my loving wife, even when I don't feel like it, I will still choose to love you. I think they'd be a hit. Anyways, are there checks that you can do?
Well, sometimes we put ourselves in a place where it gets dry, and you can look back and go, oh, maybe I'm the reason this is.
Yeah, here. I think it's good to
some things that we can at least check, and then, okay, those are clear. Now
I think like the sin, obviously sin in your life causes, whether you call it a dryness or it affects your relationship with Jesus, there's whatever metaphor you want to use, a block, there's something in there that's not right. So if you're living with unrepented sin, of course that's going to affect your relationship. And sometimes, you know, you might not even realize, like, because we're so human that I think we actually have the capability of sinning and not even realizing that we're sinning. So that doesn't excuse it, but then you're going, okay, God, is there something in my life that I'm maybe blind to? Is there something that I did? And then God, you know, because he loves us, will probably reveal it to you, and you'll go, oh man, I didn't even think of that. Okay. And then you need to confess that sin and repent of it. And then that kind of, that could be the whole issue. Like, why am I, you know, cause a lot of times it's like, why am I not wanting to read my Bible or pray? Well, cause there's sin in my life. And so I don't feel drawn to spend time with Jesus because I've got junk in my heart. So I think that's a really good check at the beginning of if you're noticing a dryness or a complacency, to really do a heart check and say, you know, is there sin in my life? If you're brave, ask other people, which is what we're supposed to do. But just to say, hey, like, if I would come to you, Don, do you think there's, like, are you noticing whatever? Is there stuff off? Like, and people close to you, like, my mom is amazing at this. Not so much anymore because I don't live at home. But she would know immediately when there was sin or junk in my life, and she would go. And she told me later on after I moved out, she's like, yeah, just your attitude changed. I could tell.
Wow.
And so specifically, you know, because I've been open with my parents about the whole pornography thing. She was like, yeah, I knew every time you had looked at it. Because she said, just your whole demeanor changed, your attitude changed. Wow. So go to someone you trust and say, are you noticing something off about me? And, you know, that could be your spouse or a best friend or whatever. And odds are, if they're walking with Jesus and they know you good enough, they'll be able to go, there's something off, and maybe kind of help you. Because I think a lot of times we deceive ourselves and we need that outside person to go, okay, something's off. I mean, my wife does that for me all the time. What's wrong? Nothing. Come on. I know that I'm just tired. And she's like, I'm not buying that. Yeah, she totally says that. Okay, I'll give you another minute, then we'll talk about it. Thank God for our wives. Okay, are you ready to put on your big boy pants and talk now?
Okay.
Fine. He hurt my feelings the other day. So that's a good check. And then I think too, if all of a sudden you're going, you know, no, I think I'm good with God. I don't think there's sin. I've checked with other people and I don't think there's sin in my life. Then to, like you said, Don, maybe God's trying to teach you something. And to not waste those dry times. And as hard as that is to sound, I think, didn't John Piper write a book, Don't Waste Your Cancer, which are like, oh boy, that's intense. But so often we want life to be so smooth and no interruptions and no, and God, I think, is, he uses these really hard times to teach us things. So maybe ask, okay, God, like, what are you trying to teach me in this season of dryness? And don't waste it. Don't, if God wants you in that for a week or a month or whatever, it's like, whew, that's the slugging it out of.
Do you have a couple or example of what God taught you through a dry time there?
No, I've never been in a, you got talking to the mic there, Don. Don asked if I had learned things in the dry times. Oh, man. I'm trying to remember.
Like, even you were saying much kind of the same time as I was, you went through a bit of a lull there. How did you get through that? Or did you learn something
around
there, or
was
it just a waste of time?
It was just a giant waste of time.
Can we get on with the program?
around the same time as, Caleb passing away, and, you know, we aren't family, but we were kind of involved in that. And then just seeing there, you know, there was a number of marriages that we saw, one really close to us that kind of fell apart, and just sin in people's lives. So then that kind of sent me into it didn't last very long. Like, you know, you had said you were 3-4 months or whatever. Mine was a couple weeks, but just, I don't know if it was a, what am I trying to say? Again, I think I was just overwhelmed by sin, just seeing sin and the effects of sin and going, man, it's tearing apart marriages and it's doing this and that. And then, you know, death is a result of sin. So seeing that and just being almost like mad or angry at, like, man, this sucks. Why does that have to happen? So I remember then it was just kind of this dry, whether it was, you know, just I didn't really feel like reading my Bible, didn't really feel like praying, because it was just, I don't think I was mad at God, but it was just kind of a,
what's the point?
Yeah, like a confusion of, like, seriously, like, why are we doing this? Because it just seems like everything is going wrong. So the psalm that I read, psalms are great when you're in a dry time, because, I mean, David just pours it out. He holds back nothing. But Psalm 63 was really good for me. And David says, "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water." And that's kind of what I was feeling. I'm like, man, I just feel like thirsty, and I just feel like I'm in this dry place. But I know enough, you know, intellectual truth about God that I know I shouldn't be like that. But then David says what he did. "I looked upon you in your sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. I'll bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. My mouth will praise you with joyful lips. I will remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night." So it was interesting because this was also a season where our girls were up a lot in night. So it was kind of a combination of I'm tired, spiritually tired, and yet David is saying, you know, here's the things that I did. I remembered God's power and glory. In the middle of the night, in the watches of the night, I meditated on God. He's been my help. In the shadow of his wings, I'll sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. So I think the lesson that God was trying to teach me was in the midst of seeing brokenness and results of sin. So whether it's death or marriage issues or seeing people walk away from Jesus, it was almost a reminder that the gospel is still good and the gospel has power to save people and that God is still in control, that it's not like, you know, Caleb or these other marriages were a surprise to him. He's sovereign. He's in control. And it was almost like being okay with, okay, like reminding yourself about God's power and his glory. And it's, but again, like when I didn't feel like praising God with my lips, I still did because that's what David is saying. He said, I remembered, I meditated on it. And even in this dry and weary land, you know, you almost have to force yourself to. So I remember when the girls would get up, that would remind me, okay, meditate on you in the watches of the night. Maybe could I not have a watch every night? But instead of like just being angry and rocking my girls back to sleep, it was like, maybe I'll just spend some time praying at 3 a.m. I'm up anyways. So it was just.
I think that's a powerful, like that psalm is very powerful. I think through a dry time, I think one of the most powerful lessons we can learn is Jesus enough? Mm-hmm. I mean, I want this to be happy. I want that, or I need this to happen. Like all of a sudden there's a whole bunch of things we need.
Yep.
And Jesus says, am I enough?
Totally.
I know one song that I listened to during that time was the song by Cutlass. Yeah. And the opening line says, if everything disappeared, if all things were taken away from me, would I still lift my hands?
Oh boy.
And praise. And in a sense, in a dry time, God is saying, am I enough? Or he's shaking our foundation. Like, what's all there that doesn't need to be there?
Yeah.
And so I think that's, for me, one of those powerful lessons that in a dry time.
Yeah, and that's why, yeah.
I still lift my hands because I still have God. I have everything I need.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Sometimes it just, you realize, oh man, I'm depending on a lot of things.
Yeah. And I think that's why God uses those things for our discipleship, because we want to grow into the likeness of Jesus. And if someone just has a smooth, comfortable, I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, you look at even Jesus's life. He lived a life of hardship and he says, come follow me. We're going, but I want an easy ride. And so I think the people that I've talked to, anytime I ask someone, like, when did you grow the most as a follower of Jesus? I would say 9 times out of 10, it's through hardship, through trial, yeah, through dry spells, through cancer, totally, through death, through whatever. I've never heard anyone, I grew the most when it was like the easiest part of my life. So I think to remember that it's not a panicky thing, that God often uses that because he wants you to become more like Jesus. And that's one of the best ways that that happens, that, yeah, he chisels away anything that we don't need, which hurts a lot of times. But
I have to use a 4x4? Can you use a little stick or something? Oh, that C.S. Lewis's quote I told you about the other day. I didn't turn to Christianity to feel good. Any bottle of port could have done that. But if you want a religion that'll make you feel comfortable and happy, I certainly wouldn't recommend Christianity, because it'll be a path of discipleship.
A bottle of port can do that. At least he's honest. Oh, man. So, yeah, hopefully that's been helpful, because I know, like, if you've never been through a season of complacency or hardship, or like, you will. It's coming. It happens to everybody. So I would say some of those key things, yeah, like don't hit the panic button. Don't look for a quick, you know, shock jolt to get out of it real fast. To check to see, yeah, is this because of sin? Is there stuff in my life? So do your own heart search, or maybe ask those you trust. And then I would say, regardless of what you feel like, spend time in the Word and spend time in prayer. And even like what this person said, like, it can feel mechanical. Yeah, it might for a while, but to not, you know, say, well, unless it feels genuine, I'm not going to do it. Well, then there would be so many days where I wouldn't pray, because
prolong the dryness.
Yeah. So to even if it feels mechanical, like, grab your Bible, open it, read it, think about it. Pray, and then don't waste that time. Just ask God, what are you trying to teach me in the midst of this valley or dryness or whatever? Any last thoughts? Nothing?
No, I think
I was trying to play Thunderstruck again, but it didn't save. Not a good way to end. So hopefully that's been helpful. And again, too, if you're a listener and you're going through a season like that, I mean, that's, we would love to chat with you and point you to resources that might help you, or just pray with you. And sometimes it just helps having someone else know, you're not meant to do discipleship by yourself. Yeah. It's meant to be done in a community. So if you're a listener and you're going, oh man, I so am there, totally call the office or swing by and talk with us. We'd love to help you out through that. So we will talk to you next week.